what it says. I'm reading from the NIV version. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem and at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that the boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when the son had got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him." And then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And so he and his whole household believed. Amen. Here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the value of the word. The value of the word. The value of the word. This is still early in Jesus' ministry. Jesus has, when you look at the Bible maps, you will see that he is now in the region of Galilee. You'll see Galilee's up here, and then Jerusalem is down here with Bethany and Bethlehem. That's a cluster down south, and then up north is Galilee. And up there in Galilee, it's a lot of small little, you might call them towns, but you may also call them actually communities. Some of them are just a few miles apart. Some are a little further apart, but it's no huge distances. And so Jesus is moving from one region to another, and now he's up in Galilee. And he goes back to the place. He's back in Cana, and he's there in Cana. And in Cana, Cana's known because that's the place where Jesus did his first miracle. Now, I don't know if he's visiting his relatives. I don't know if he's going back to the family and that they became friends or something like that. It doesn't say, but he's in the area. He's in the area, and then in the context of our text, there is somebody who lives 20 miles away. He lives 20 miles away. It doesn't give his name. It does give his title. But he lives some 20 miles away, and he hears that Jesus is in Cana. And there he makes some decisions. And so when you look at this story, I told you the other week that sometimes people want to see Jesus because they're curious. Sometimes people want to see Jesus because Jesus is famous now. He's become a celebrity. But then sometimes people want to see Jesus because of a crisis that is happening in their lives. But either way, this man is facing a crisis in his life. And he's done some things. And so it's interesting because when we typically get a chance to see the Bible stories, we get to see Jesus engaging in ministry. We see Jesus engaging in the lives of people. And then sometimes what we'll see Jesus on board, we'll see a problem, and then we'll see some interaction, and then we celebrate the results. And all of that is well and good. But one of the things, as we learn the stories and think we know the stories, God is so good because whenever we read Scripture, it's almost as if they are layers that allow us to see something even more. And though even though many times you may know this story of a man who had a sick son and he came to Jesus and Jesus healed the son, I want to share with you that there's something else that I really want to show you in this text, because one of the things that we see in this text is that Jesus recognizes something in this man. He recognizes something in this man, which I believe that if you and I can express what this man expressed, we can receive some of the things that he received. I need to lift this up this way today, because I believe that what Jesus recognized in this man, he recognized faith. He recognized that this man, he had some faith. He had some faith. I believe the first thing that Jesus recognized is that this man had faith to believe that his situations and circumstances can change. He believed that he was faced with a situation and a circumstance, but he believed that it could change. He could believe that it did not have to remain the same. And this man believed that even before he came to Cana. I believe this man believed that in Capernaum, when he saw his son get sick, when he saw his son go from bad to worse, it was something in him that helped, that made him believe that this situation does not have to remain the same. And that's an act of faith, y'all. That is a decision that believes, I don't know what I'm going to do, don't know how. Because every now and then, when we're faced with situations, we do everything we know to do. And sometimes everything we know to do don't change the situation. Sometimes what we know to do, I mean, you know what we would do? We would give them some bear aspirin. We'd make them lay down. We would give them something to drink. Trudy would bring him some ginger ale. We always have some home remedies, some things we know to do. But every once in a while, God will throw you a curve. Life will bowl down your alley with something that you can't handle, that all that you knew to do, it did not work, and he will give you something that is beyond your ability. But just because you can't change it don't mean it can't be changed. We up in here today celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday on tomorrow. And I'm here to tell you that whole situation was an act of faith. I can't help but get Gilbert up in here, because George Gilbert used to say, we don't have the road, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to lay some sand and gravel and fix a road for others to travel. George Gilbert understood we got to take some stuff, we got to go through some things, but they just believe that if we do our part while we can, it's going to be better down the road. And here we are up in here, because some people believe that circumstances and situations can change. They believed that. He believed that with all his heart. He believed that the situation could change in the midst of his family. He looked at his son, and he saw a bright future for his son. He looked at his family, and he believed somehow God can change his situation. I'm going to tell you, if there's all of us either have family, come from family, and when life touches your family, family will always be top on the list. And I'm here to tell you, don't care how much you pray, don't care how much you fast, you can speak in tongues forward and backwards, but trouble will touch your family sometime. But I love the fact that this father believed that in the midst of my family, I see something great for my son. I see something great for his future. And I believe that it does not have to remain the same. Watch what he does. He not only had faith to believe that his situation could change, but he had faith to believe that the Savior, this man Jesus, was the answer. He believed that Jesus was the answer. But Jesus ain't in Capernaum. He believed that Jesus was the answer. He believed that the rumors, that the word that was going around in the community about what this man Jesus did down in Jerusalem. They didn't have the benefit of Facebook
But as folk traveled, they would always take the story with them. And he believed he heard what Jesus had done in some other places. And he believed that the Savior, here it is, that the Savior is the answer. He believed that Jesus was the answer. But here's the problem. Jesus is not in Capernaum. But the word got to him that he's in Cana. The word got to him that he's in Cana. He's 20 miles down the road. He's 20 miles down the road. So what do you do? What do you do when you're in the midst of a crisis and your answer is 20 miles down the road? Do you hope? Do you hope that maybe Jesus is going to come your way sometime, sooner or later? Do you find out if he's coming your way? Do you send him a note and ask him to come? No, I tell you what the text says. The text tells us that he heard that Jesus was 20 miles away, and in spite of his position, in spite of his authority and his power, he knew that he needed to find Jesus, and so he left from where he was in Capernaum and walked 20 miles to find Jesus. He walked 20 miles to find Jesus, but here's the issue. He don't know Jesus, and Jesus don't know him. He don't know Jesus. He don't have a relationship. And Jesus don't have a relationship with him. Here's the other one. He's not a Jew. How is Jesus, a Jew, the Savior, the Lamb of God, going to help him who is not a Jew? He's a Gentile. He doesn't have a relationship. He's not a part of the Jewish faith. He doesn't have, but yet, in spite of that, he still goes. I'm telling y'all, that's an act of faith. That's an act of faith. Jesus sees in him that this man has faith enough to believe that his situation can change, but this man also has faith to believe that even though they're not related in terms of religion, they're not related in terms of race, they don't have a relationship, this man just believed that Jesus could do something on his behalf. Here's what the Bible says. He's a nobleman. He's a nobleman. One version says he's a nobleman. One says that he's a royal official. And what that really means is theologians believe that he was a part of Herod's management. He was a part of Herod's management. And so here is a guy, he's got great position. Here's a person who has great authority. But he doesn't go to Jesus touting his position. He doesn't walk up to Jesus, giving Jesus his card and telling him, I need you to. Because in essence, the man was over Jesus in terms of government rule. But when he went to Jesus, he submitted and became under Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, this is awesome. He was over Jesus politically. He was over Jesus as it relates to authority, but he recognized that this Savior is above even their government and their rules and their laws. And so even though he has a position that's over Jesus, he's got sense enough to know that he needs to submit to Jesus because Jesus can do something he can't do. He can sign a law, but he can't heal nobody. He can tell a person to go this way and that way. He can arrest somebody, but he can't arrest the sickness. He finds Jesus. And when he gets to Jesus, he asks Jesus, he begs him. The text says that he when he arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son. He traveled a long way. Would please come heal my son. When you read the text, Jesus, it's almost as if Jesus is ignoring him, but he's not, but he's teaching. He's teaching in the midst of the situation. And when Jesus hears that, he says to him in verse number 48, he says, unless you people always want to see signs and wonders. Now y'all know when you hear somebody say, you people, there's something down on the inside that gets thumped when you hear somebody say, you people. But Jesus, he's not being mean, but the truth is that still people are trying to figure out who he is. They're trying to figure out what all he can do. And he says, y'all still looking for signs and wonders. You wanting to see, because it's almost as if, come on, Jesus, do another trick for us. Come on, Jesus, do another miracle for us. Every time he turned a corner, somebody was wanting him to do a miracle so that they would believe. Give us a sign. Give us a wonder so that we can believe that you are who you say you are. I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus finally, he gets fed up with that kind of mess. Because there's a whole lot of folk that won't take him at his word. They'll only believe him if he does something. But I'm here to tell you, you keep on living. I'm going to tell you what God will do. Sometimes God won't do what you want him to do. But he does want to see if you're going to trust him to see you through. Excuse me, I'm going to rewind that one more time. Sometimes he won't do exactly what you want him to do, but he won't do it because he's going to see, will you trust me that I'll see you through the situation? He said, everybody looking for signs and wonders. Everybody want to see a miracle. Everybody want to name it, claim it, and frame it. So Jesus does something different. He ain't doing no miracle so that y'all can see it right here. Watch what Jesus does. He believes. He sees the man's faith. The man has faith to believe that his situation and circumstance can change. He believes that the Savior is the answer. But now Jesus is going to stretch his faith. The man has a little faith. I heard you. Somebody over here asked, how much do you need? How much faith do you need? How much faith do you really need to get a big blessing? Does it come in increments of dollars? Or does it come in increments of ounces? Or does it come in increments of time? How much faith do you need to really get God to do something big on your behalf? I'm gonna tell you the answer. I don't know. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Jesus said, if you had some faith, the size of a mustard seed, you could do great things. So here's what I know. Here's what I've concluded. You don't need a lot, but you do need to have a little in the right place. But God will take little faith and stretch it. He sees the man. The man's having a crisis. He believed that his situation didn't have to remain the same. Little faith. He believed that he could be a change agent in making the situation different. Little faith. He believed that the Savior was the answer for his crisis. Little faith. He leaves Capernaum, goes 20 miles, and finds Jesus. Little faith. Stands before Jesus and says, my son is sick. Would you please come and heal him before he die? Little faith. And Jesus does something that stretches little faith into great faith. All right, go, your son will live. Now see, when we get there, we go up Lloyd Expressway, and then we get on I-69, we go north, about 5 miles, and then we hang. It's only about 34 minutes away. Come on, Jesus. No, I said, go, your son will live. You don't see an argument. When you read the text, here's what it says. Jesus basically says, I ain't going to your house. Now, I don't know why. When we get to heaven, I know all of us got a list on questions I want to ask when I get to heaven. Put this on that list. Why wouldn't Jesus go? I don't know. Could be the soup was about to get put on the table. I don't know. Could be he was tired. I don't know. I don't know why he did not go. But here's what I do know. Jesus was stretching the man's faith, because in essence, what Jesus is telling him, you going home, your son's going to live. Now, here's the beauty of this whole thing. When Jesus stretches your faith, you got to be willing to accept what he offers. You got to be satisfied with what he offers. I want my son healed. Okay, go on home. He's going to live. He doesn't get a physical miracle that he gets to see right then. What he gets is a word. What he gets is a word. And the man, good God Almighty, the man, the text says, the man took him at his word. Hey, Junior, is that the text you used when you wrote that song? If it ain't, it should be. The man took him at his word. Something about what Jesus said, go on home. Your son is going to live. And then the text says, the man took him at his word and started walking on home. One of the things that the Bible doesn't always share, which is one of the reasons why I want us, we'll do more and more plays, is because we don't get to see the benefit of the nonverbal expression. We don't get to see the facial expression. Brittany, I wonder what the man's facial expression was when Jesus said, go on home. I wonder, hey, what would have yours been when, in essence, Jesus is saying, in one sense, you're really hearing him say, no, I ain't going. How do we act when the Lord don't do it like we think he ought to do it? Head fall, countenance disappointed. Be careful, because he don't have to do it the way we want him to do it, and he don't always do it the same way all the time. But I like this, because this man is teaching us he's got faith enough to take Jesus at his... Here's what he's really saying. If that's what you say, all right, I'm going. I don't know what... I'm going. And as he's walking, he's wondering. Come here. I'm not suggesting that his faith is so great that he just knows, because he's not even, it's his baby faith, but his faith is being stretched, but at least he's moving in the right direction. That's what I need to tell somebody up in here. You may have some doubt. Remember what Thomas said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because within all of us, I believe, and then sometimes I doubt. I'm wondering until I see it. He starts walking in the right direction. At least move in the right direction. How do you know that he's taking him at his word? You say you're taking God at his word? Here, because you said so, look like it. Taking him at his word, walk like it. If you're taking him at his word, praise like it. And every now and then, you need some friends that can have confidence on your behalf. I never will forget, just happened to me this week. I was going into a big meeting, and I was talking to a friend, because I always try to get some folk pray with me when I'm facing tough stuff. And I had one friend, and I called him, and right before I was going in the meeting, and I said, I don't know how this thing gonna turn out. And this friend of mine, I can hear his smile. He smiles so big that I can hear it through the phone. And when he said, you just need to believe that this thing is going to work for your good. And I could hear the smile. I could hear the confidence. And sure enough, when I was doubting, he was confident. And when I went to that meeting and everything worked out all right, I couldn't wait to get back to the phone to push the call button. Said, it came out just like you said, because every now and then you need somebody to encourage you when you're walking, believing that God's going to do it. I wish I had all the confidence in the world. He will work it out. I sing about it. While you trying to figure it out, God already work about it. We shout about it. We dance about it. But if the truth be told, in the midst of it all, sometimes we wonder how it's going to turn out. He gets the I-69, gets up on the ramp, and who's the first person he sees? Somebody from home coming his way. What's the expression on his face? There it is. Uh-oh. Shock or disbelief, shock or disappointment. Shock or he's gone. But as they reach each other, they got some good news. Said, hey, Junior's all right. And then watch, listen to him. He said, okay, when did he get better? He said, we've been on the road all morning, but he got better yesterday. At about 1 o'clock. And then the man said to himself, that's the same time. That's the moment that Jesus said, go on home and he shall live. And then the text says, he believed. No. Let me tell the truth. The text says, when you finish that, the text says, here's what it says. Then the father realized, verse 53, that was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. What did he get? He heard a word that Jesus was nearby. He acted on that word. Then he went and stood in the presence of the word of life. And what did Jesus give him? He didn't give him nothing but a word. And he believed that word. And when after received the word, he went back home. And you know what he did? Because in the text it says, and the whole household, everybody in the house believed. Because it was the man sharing his testimony, giving the word about his experience with the Savior. And so now everybody in the house believed because they received the word. That's all they had was the word. But they believed. Because there's power in his word. There's value in his word. There's deliverance in his word. There's hope in his word. You want some joy? You can find it in his word. I close with this. Hey, Trudy was watching a little Western. Bless her heart. She was watching a little Western the other day. I came in, she said, oh, Larry, let me tell you what happened. She told me about the story of what happened in this little Western she was watching. And in this particular Western, a guy was coming into town. And in this town, it was a corrupt sheriff. He was arresting everybody. He was doing the shakedown. He would arrest people and just throw them in jail for nothing. And then charge them an unruly amount of bail to get out. One particular guy he arrested and threw him into jail. And The man said, "Can I have my Bible? Can I have my Bible?" And the sheriff said, "Yeah, give it to him." And he has his Bible, and he's in the jail cell. After a little while, he said, hey, what's my bail? What's my bail? What's my bail? What's my bail? And the sheriff gave him an outrageous number. He said, "Your bail's $100. It's $100. It's $100. He said, "I can make my bail. If I can make my bail, if I can make my bail, will you let me out?" He said, all right. But he knew he couldn't make it. He's a stranger in town. Ain't got no family in town. And the man said, "All right, okay, $100, okay." He opens up his Bible and pulls out $100 and hands it to the man. And they had to let him out. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The sheriff didn't know the value, didn't know what was in the word. And there's a whole lot of folk. Hey, KJ, there's some people that really don't know the value of what's in this word. I tell you what, if you get in this word, you'll discover, because that's what God's given us. He ain't always gonna do no miracle. He ain't always gonna raise the dead. He has given us his word. And if you get the word, that is all you need. When the crises come, thank God we have a word. And when he responds, when your faith is stretched based upon the word, you'll end up on the other side with a testimony. And everybody in the house will start believing because of what happened as a result of his word. You start making up your own songs and doing your own dance because the family has been blessed by the word. Walk around the house and just start singing to yourself, "He'll make a way. He'll make a way. Woo. He'll make a way. God will make a way." Somebody else will say, "He'll heal your soul. He'll heal your soul." Anybody ever been sick? "He'll heal your soul. God will heal your soul. He'll see you through. He'll see you through. He'll see you through. God will see you through." Won't he do it? Yes, he'll do it. Yes, he'll do it. You got to make up your own song. 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 I was walking to my seat the other day. I said, "He'll blow your mind." "He'll blow your mind. He'll do something so big. He'll blow your mind. God will," come on, Junior, "He'll blow your mind." To God be the glory for the things he has done.